So before we turn our attention to Galatians 6, if you need a Bible, by the way, there's a stack of Bibles right back there. I'm going to make a couple of announcements, but feel free to get up and turn to Galatians 6. Two announcements. The first is, tonight at 6 p.m., we're going to be having a Thanksgiving service here at Monroe. Soup, salad, and sauce. Okay, so if you come, bring a crock pot of soup or bring a bowl of salad. You get to pick which one you want to bring and what type. And then we'll eat those together. And then we'll read and hear from people, reflect on Psalms and how they're thankful to God this year. 6 o'clock here. The heat will still be on. The food will be good. The fellowship will be fantastic. Cummings with me and with our community here. The second is, on December 6th, the youth group is going to be doing a fundraising event here at Monroe. If you have kids, or if you know if people, your friends have kids and are looking for some child care, they're looking going to provide child care here at Monroe. You can drop the kids off, go out and have a date night, go out and do some shopping, go back home and just sit in peace and quiet. Whatever is most appealing to you, take advantage of it. They're going to be raising funds to buy gifts for the Other Way Ministries over on the west side. There's some registration forms for that on the back table. Evan is right here. He is an expert in youth group child care. Okay? Talk to him. He'll be able to answer any of your questions. Okay? Thanksgiving tonight, child care in a little over a week. Sound good? All right. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. The last chapter in Galatians. Page 826. I'm going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to focus our attention on the verses toward the end. Here Paul says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen." And then verse 14 again. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." So people of God, tell me, who or what comes to your mind when you hear the word boast? Pride. Okay. Donald Trump. Okay. Boasting. A reason to be proud. Something impressive that someone or something has or has done. To talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. Boasting, to speak of with pride, vanity, or exultation. Who or what comes to your minds when you hear the word boast? One of the things that came to my mind this week when I heard that word are sports teams. Sports teams who win their games and races and become champions. I think of my daughter's cross-country team this year, this fall, whose team won the state championship in Division III in Michigan. How about that? I think of the Calvin's women's volleyball team last night, who won the Division III national championship game last night in volleyball. An amazing game. An amazing game. Some of us were there. Another thing that comes to my mind when I hear the word boasts are businessmen and women who are successful in accomplishing turnaround projects, who take pride and satisfaction in a job well done. Think of some of our Calvin College colleagues here this morning who are working very hard during a turnaround job with budget issues that they're facing, and they're working hard to make it work. What comes to your mind when you hear the word boast? In our text for today, almost at the very end of his letter, the Apostle Paul talks to us about boasting. He ends his letter by asking his listeners to consider and reflect on in whom or in what they are boasting. Often I wonder, why does Paul end his letter to the churches in Galatia this way, by talking about boasting? But then I remember, you and I, we only boast about things that matter to us, don't we? Things that we're proud of, things that we care about. We only boast about things that are important to our hearts, like our daughters. And as we read this section of his letter, it is clear that Paul's desires for his readers is that you and I, we boast in something that matters, something that's important, something that's worthwhile. Sometimes when I hear the word boast, it has this negative or unwelcoming ring to it in my mind. But after reading and reflecting on Galatians 6 this week, I realize that boasting only has to have a negative ring to it if you and I are boasting in something that isn't worthwhile. Boasting is only problematic when you and I boast in something that's not important. And all throughout his letter to the churches in Galatia, Paul has been distinguishing for us between what is important and what is not important. What is essential and what is non-essential. What is necessary and what is optional as a result of what Jesus Christ has done. What he has done for us through his death and through his resurrection. Paul's been sifting for us and helping us see what's important and what's not important when it comes to this. Again and again and again, Paul reminds us that our salvation, that our justification, that our forgiveness comes to us through our faith in Jesus. Three examples of this are in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, where he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen. He reminds us, what did Jesus Christ do? He rescued us. Chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. He says, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith." By faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Throughout his letter, Paul reminds us that Jesus Christ rescues us, Jesus Christ justifies us, and that Jesus Christ redeems us. Because of this, because of these things, Paul reminds his listeners, his desire is that he may never boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus rescues, because Jesus justifies, because Jesus redeems, Paul's desire is that he never boasts in anything except that. Paul's desire for you and for me is the same. That we too would never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this Paul's desire? Why is this Paul's desire for you and for me? The answer is because what happens when we boast in the cross of Christ? The first thing that happens when we boast in the Lord is that the things of this world begin to lose their power over our lives. Paul says to us in verse 14, "The world has been crucified to me." Paul is saying here that the gospel destroys the power of earthly things. Because salvation is found only in Christ, there is nothing in this world that you and I must have, or that we must have, or must boast about. Tim Keller, in his commentary on this verse, notes for us that the gospel frees us. It frees us from being controlled by the things of this world. The gospel frees us from the must-have, which is a very important thing going into this coming season, isn't it? Because we're going to get it bombarded with messages, the must-have messages. They're going to be coming. They're going to be coming. But Paul's saying, nothing in this world has to have that power any longer. Because there is nothing in this world that can make us righteous, worthy, or save us, then there's nothing in this world that you and I must have. John Stott, that great Christian leader from England, reminds Christians that because the world has been crucified to us who believe, we do not need to care what the world thinks of us, being held captive by its power. Tell me, have you ever wondered or worried about what people think about you? Or about what you have or don't have? Have you ever tried to measure up to someone in one way or another? If so, we may try and boast in the things of this world. As soon as we try and compare, we're going to boast in something else in order to measure up. To try and measure up. But Paul says, when we boast in what Christ has done for us, the desire to boast in these things begins to go away. William Hendrickson, a former professor at the seminary I attended, says this. He says, "Those earthly pleasures and treasures, the honors and the values that tend to draw the soul away from Christ, they begin to lose their charm when we boast in what Christ has done. When we fix our eyes on what He has done and we boast in that, those other things, they lose their charm. I like that phrase. They lose their charm. In other words, they become crucified.
Something else happens when we boast in the cross of Christ. The other thing that happens is that you and I were able to enjoy, rather than fear or worship, the things in this world. Because salvation is found in Jesus and not in the things of this world, we no longer have to fear it, or be afraid of it, or worship it, or give our hearts to it. Paul says in verse 14 that on account of the gospel, you and I have been crucified to the world. Because everything we need is found in Jesus for salvation, Paul says, we are simply free to enjoy the world rather than worship. For example, our car can be enjoyed as a car and not as a status symbol that we must boast about. Our house can be enjoyed as a house, right? And not as an identity statement that we should boast about. Our job can be enjoyed as a vocation, not as a socioeconomic identifier that we need to boast about. Rather than being trapped or defined by these things, rather than being bound by these things and many others, when we boast in the cross of Christ, we are free to enjoy these things. Enjoy the things of this world. Boasting in the cross of Christ brings us freedom. It enables us to enjoy. Paul builds on this point in the next verse when he identifies the third thing that happens when we boast in the cross of Christ. The third thing is this. He says, because of the gospel, you and I, we don't feel inferior because of what we don't have, or superior because of what we do have. In verse 15, he says this. He says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. So much of our boasting is the result of either feeling inferior or superior, isn't it? We boast about our team's record, right? Because we're 13-0. We're 13-0. So we boast about that because we're superior. Or, if our team's no good, right? If we're awful, what do we boast about? We boast about camaraderie. We boast about teamwork. We boast about, right? Because we feel inferior. We're not the superior team, so then we boast about that. We boast about our education, the degrees we've received. We've got a MDiv, we've got an MBA, we've got a PhD. Or if we don't have those, we boast about our ability to get by just fine without them. We boast about the person that we're dating, right? That's sitting next to us. Or we boast about the freedom we have and not being tied down in a relationship right now. We boast that we're circumcised, or we boast that we're not circumcised. In the midst of all this, Paul reminds us that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we have or what we don't have when it comes to the things that this world offers. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything. What matters, what counts, he says, is a new creation. What matters is becoming a new creation. And how does that happen? How do you and I become new? How do we become new creations? Hopefully by now you know what Paul says. It's only through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Our ability to dribble a ball, our ability to get a degree, our ability to find a significant other, or to do anything else in this world can't make us new, Paul says. Only this can.
only this can. Only Christ can make us new. Only He can justify. Only He can sanctify. Only He can change us and make us new from the inside out. Therefore, Paul says, if you're going to boast in something, here, boast in this. Boast in this. Boast in the one who makes you new. Paul echoes this truth in his letters to the Philippians when he says this. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. Paul had gained all kinds of things. Social status, education, prestige. He says, but whatever these gains to me, I now consider loss for what? For the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all other things. I consider them garbage, he says. Trash. Trash. That I might what? Gain Christ. Gaining Christ, Paul says, is the most important, because when we gain Christ, we are made new. Christ is the one who makes us new. Paul concludes this section in verse 16 by talking to us about what happens when we follow this rule of exclusive boasting. Paul says that when we boast in the Lord, peace and mercy come to all who follow it. Peace and mercy come to all who follow this rule, he says. Peace, in the Hebrew sense, of health and welfare of an individual. The wellness of our soul. Shalom. Peace within. Paul says, if you and I want peace, then we're going to have to boast here. If we boast in something else, it's either something that we've done or something that we've acquired, a thing, a person, we're not going to have peace. That thing may rust. It may be destroyed. You may lose it. Paul says, in the midst of the storms and trials of our lives, this stays the same. It doesn't change. No matter what happens, no matter what has happened, no matter what may happen, Paul reminds us we're hidden with Him. We're hidden in Christ. Boast in that. Jobs change. Health changes. Income changes. Cars change. Houses change. Peace can't be found there. It says you'll receive peace and you'll receive mercy. Mercy refers to the forgiveness that God extends toward sinners. It refers to the readiness and the desire of God to help those who are in trouble. Nothing else in the world can forgive or atone for our sin. Only Christ can do this. So if we desire mercy, if you desire mercy, Paul says we need to follow the boasting rule. We need to boast exclusively in Him. Paul says when we boast in the cross of Christ, when we follow this rule, peace and mercy are going to come. Peace and mercy are going to come. People of God, Paul's words to us this morning are this. May you never boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul's deep desire is that you and I, we boast in one thing and only one thing. Jesus. Paul's desire is that the cross of Christ be the deepest desire of our hearts. Why? Because only there can we experience peace. Only there can we experience mercy. Therefore, we end this morning by asking ourselves these questions. the death of Jesus the only thing that I am relying on for my standing with God today? Is the death of Jesus the only thing that I am relying on for my standing with God today? Can we say this morning that there's nothing in this world that we have to have? Can we say that this morning? Can we say that? Are we enjoying the good things that God provides? He provides us with so many good things. Are we enjoying them, or are we making gods out of them so that they bring us anxiety and discontent? Are we enjoying, or are we anxious this morning? As we reflect on these questions, would you pray with me? Father, we come before you. We come before you humbly. And ask you to look inside of our hearts and our lives. Lord, you call out to us this morning to boast only in you and who you are and what you've done for us. To boast only in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, if we are boasting in any other thing, would you please reveal that to us this morning and expose it for what it is? Remind us this morning, Lord, where peace and mercy are found. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who is anxious or discontent, who's looking for peace and mercy and anything else besides you, Lord, speak to us. Lord, as we go out from this place later, speak to us about what it is that we are boasting in, what we are looking for to bring meaning and substance to our lives. Lord, as we sing some more songs now, speak to us through the words that we sing. Speak to us through those lyrics. There are powerful truths contained within them, Lord. As we sing, let them be our prayer. Hear our worship now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.